Are we exposed? This is what every security team is wondering. But with vulnerabilities scattered across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos, the truth is out of reach, and attackers know it. There's a better way. Unify to defy risk with Tenable AI-powered exposure management. Tenable brings together all your security data and exposures in one unified view, giving you the attacker's map and revealing the critical paths and weaknesses they can exploit. Now your teams can prioritize intelligently, move decisively, and collaborate without friction. Tenable turns scattered work into a single proactive force. Instead of chasing noise, your team knows where to focus, gaining clarity, control, and speed to reduce cyber risk with confidence. Learn more at tenable.com. Tenable. Your exposure ends here.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Bill Raggio, my colleague and friend and co-host of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He's a senior fellow, keeps the Long War Journal, and a major contributor to the LWJ. He's David Daoud of the FDD, and he's here to help us on the promising headlines, I think, out of Israel, ministers to approve Hezbollah truce within these next hours. Northern mayors decry, quote, surrender deal. Minister Gantz, just dismissed as Minister of Defense, says Israelis quite have the right to know the terms of the Lebanon ceasefire agreement. David, a very good evening to you. A ceasefire by Hezbollah. To my memory, Hezbollah has been firing rockets and killing IDF and Israeli personnel for more than a year, claiming that they would stop when Hamas and Gaza have a ceasefire. I'm not reading that there's a ceasefire in Gaza. In fact, I'm reading that there are operations underway in North Gaza against the remnant of Hamas's battalions. So this looks like Hezbollah has backed away from its assertion. Is that accurate? And what does that tell us? Good evening to you, David.
Good evening, John. It's not explicit, but it could be the first time we're seeing Hezbollah decouple itself from Gaza. It could be that they've reached a point where they've assessed that despite the continuation of Israeli military operations in Gaza, there's not much of Hamas left that's worth supporting, that the fight in Gaza has perhaps been lost. So why continue to open oneself up to continued Israeli military operations? The other part of it, look, I think if we're looking at Hezbollah, assessing Hezbollah accurately, they've wanted this ceasefire from the day they started attacking. Their whole point of joining was to get a ceasefire, yes, in Gaza. But then they got stuck. The Gaza war kept going on. Israel was inflicting massive amounts of pain upon the organization and upon its support base, and they had no off-ramp. You put your word out there. You said, we're going to continue fighting until Gaza stops. And if you back away from that, if Israeli military force puts Hezbollah in a position where it has to back down from that, it looks weak. And then its utility to its base as this powerful resistance organization is called into question. So they've been looking for an off-ramp. And here, I think this is where the Lebanese government is playing a role to give them a face-saving off-ramp where, you know, this deal is not being inked between Israel and Hezbollah. It's being inked between Israel and Lebanon, which is an irrelevant actor, except for running political cover for Hezbollah. So Hezbollah could say, you know, well, look, we're a Lebanese organization. We're fighting in the name of Lebanon, and we would like to continue fighting for Gaza. But we have been ordered by the Lebanese government to stop. We have no option. And in doing so, they can, you know, prop up their Lebanese, boost their Lebanese bona fides and have an off ramp from this conflict that is inflicting massive damage upon them. So it's not really that they're. Yeah, I think they've wanted to decouple for a very long time, but they're stuck. And this gives them this way to kind of split the difference without necessarily looking weak.
Bill, you have a question.
David, you hit the crux of what my issue is with these negotiations. What good is a deal that is inked between Israel and the Lebanese government if it isn't a direct agreement from Hezbollah? Why should Israel trust any ceasefire that Hezbollah isn't a direct participant in?
It shouldn't. It shouldn't. And this goes to the failure of not just this deal, but the entire outlook that we have on dealing with Hezbollah as the United States, which is dependent upon the Lebanese government to somehow enforce, reclaim its sovereignty, reassert its sovereignty and control over its territory, and enforce its laws, really its own laws, against all actors within Lebanon. Because if you look at the Taif Agreement, the quasi-constitutional document that ended Lebanon's civil war in 1990, it requires the disarmament of all militias. Except then the Lebanese played a very tricky game by saying, well, you know, Hezbollah is not a militia, it's a resistance, and this doesn't cover resistance organizations, so Hezbollah gets to retain its arms. And, you know, this sleight of hand that we saw here in this, you know, Lebanon has been playing for years because it's either unwilling or incapable of disarming Hezbollah. And this kind of goes to the ceasefire deal itself, which I think is very weak. It's premature and very weak because it depends primarily upon Lebanon. Right? It repeats the mistakes of Resolution 1701. And again, I always say that Resolution 1701 is good law, but part of it is that it depends on Lebanon for enforcement. So this new deal, right, it's being described as some kind of 1701 on steroids, it seeks to at least gives the appearance of filling the gaps of 1701, right, kind of tightening the screws on pushing Lebanon to enforce its obligations under international law, which is what's contained in Resolution 1701. But even there are gaps, right? So step one, Lebanese army deploys to South Lebanon in parallel with Hezbollah withdrawal north of the Litani and retention of its heavy weapons. There's an admission, at least from what we're seeing, that Hezbollah gets to retain its heavy weapons. Israel withdraws south of the border. And Lebanese army enters. Who's to say the Lebanese army will prevent Hezbollah from returning? Well, you have this U.S. Led enforcement mechanism, but it doesn't have the authority to prevent by force Hezbollah, at least from what we're seeing, from returning or violations of this new ceasefire deal. It only reports and monitors, right? Which is basically what UNIFIL is meant to do. So it's giving the appearance of being more robust, which is what UNIFIL after 2006 was supposed to be, more robust than its prior iteration. And that proved useless. Ah, but then comes this deal and says, well, you know, if this deal is not implemented properly, then Israel is guaranteed military action. Except the guarantee of Israeli military action is made in a separate letter by the U.S. administration. It's not in the deal itself. And we've seen in the past how different administrations may disregard such letters of assurances by prior administrations. The second part of it is that even if future administrations uphold this letter of assurance, it's dependent upon U.S. approval. Right? If Israel sees Hezbollah moving south of the Litani or reestablishing itself, it has to seek U.S. approval. And after a prior determination that the LAF is not doing its job, if no one's seeing the gaps there, I can't help them. And finally, what would that military action look like? I can't imagine it would be anything. Anything would be approved more than the pinpricks that Israel has been inflicting upon Hezbollah in Syria for the better part of at least 10 years in what's been called Mabam, the war between the wars. But those pinpricks are not enough to prevent an organization's regeneration. I can't see the United States or the international community sanctioning or approving the military or the Israeli military action on the scale that will be necessary.
30 seconds, David. 30 seconds.
To prevent these violations. Sorry for going on.
It's fine, David. David Daoud of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. Remember, this is a headline now. It's not a fact. It's a headline out of Israel and soon enough out of Europe. However, David Daoud of FTD, Bill Raggio of FTD.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.